Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show. You're listening to episode 205 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to do a Boston Marathon Weekend Getaway Recap. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got The Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond.
That's a lot of words in there.
Hey runners, and welcome to episode 205. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And we are back here, back on the pod, to do one of my favorite type of episodes, which is a race recap slash marathon weekend getaway recap.
And today, apparently, we're having extra long titles, and we're abbreviating podcast with pod.
Oh, did I say pod?
Yeah.
That's fetch. Get it? Mean girls?
No, but okay.
Anyway, if you are new to this podcast, thank you for tuning in. I promise we will cut the jokes now. And if you are back, then, I mean, if you're not new, if you're...
If you're old, you're just like us.
And if you're a return listener, thank you so much for tuning back in. We appreciate your loyalty.
And your comments. And when you find us on races and you say hi.
Yes, you send us messages. A couple of people during the race said hello to me. That was kind of cool.
You got to remember names to give shout outs next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually am making a YouTube video because I had brought my little Insta360 go-to camera. And you can have all of this with images on our YouTube channel by Wednesday.
You better get to work.
Yeah, I will.
So you want to go through the standard procedure of race recaps and start with your trip out to Boston?
Yes. So this was my trip to the 128th annual Boston Marathon.
As you check your medal to see if you're accurately describing the marathon.
I'm proud of myself for doing so. Yes, the 128th version of this marathon, this time presented by Bank of America instead of John Hancock. This is the new sponsor.
It's hard to tell on the medal if it's the Boston Marathon or the Bank of America Marathon.
You know, there's a lot of memes going around with that. People were not enthusiastic about the new logo and the change of the medal. It looks quite different than the old medals, but you know what? We evolve, so...
Made in the USA, 100% recycled materials.
Just like the jacket.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The jacket too?
That was the claim to fame of the jacket for the last couple of years.
So the 128th Boston Marathon, or Letty's third Boston Marathon?
Third plus one virtual that took place in Florida.
And so you've had experience with this one before. So quickly describe your trip out there and getting settled into Boston.
All right. So I don't know about quickly.
Okay. So everyone grab your coffee, get a comfy chair because this is going to last a while.
On the first day of flying out to Boston, I had a 4-hour delay. Spent quite a bit of time at the airport to fly out on Thursday evening. Arrived in Boston at 1 o'clock in the morning instead of 9 p.m., which sucked, right? You kind of want to sleep the days before the marathon, and that didn't happen. You get in super late. Luckily, our friend Wes lives in Boston doing locums, and he was super nice. Thank you, Wes, if you're listening, and picked me up from the airport and allowed me to stay the night at his place the very first night so I could check into my hotel on Friday morning.
Was it good to see Wes again? Wes is like your old running partner you used to run with all the time here.
It was. Wes has been one of my closest friends since moving to Florida, so it was kind of sad to see him go. But then he happens to go to all these places I travel to. You know, he was in Austin last year when I went to Austin, and now he just happened to be in Boston. So that was kind of practical and, of course, super awesome to see him on the way to his place. We got lost a couple of times because we were chatting.
Oh my gosh, that's you and him together are like the worst for directions, huh?
One time it took us 8 hours to drive back from Miami, so that'll tell you something. But it took us about a little bit more than an hour to get to his place.
At 1 a.m.
At 1 a.m., so I went to bed around 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know me, I don't need a lot of sleep. I woke up very happy. And like I said, headed to the Sheraton, which was my hotel for the weekend. I always book my room through Marathon Tours. They had a room available at 8:30 in the morning, which was awesome because you know how I like to unpack when I get somewhere just to make it feel like home. I was able to do that right away before getting the day started.
Yeah, it's unusual because usually they don't let you check in until 3 or so. But so before you describe your weekend, why don't you give a visual map? I'm a visual person. I haven't been to the Boston Marathon. Maybe other listeners have not either. Give a visual map to kind of give them an idea of what the layout is. And then when you talk about these places, it'll be make more sense.
Yeah. So everything in the Boston Convention Center area, the Highness Convention Center where the expo took place, everything I'm talking about is within probably a half mile radius around it. And that's the beautiful part. And that's what I love about Boston. Nothing is spread out. Everything is literally walkable, like within a half a mile radius.
I think that helps, at least for myself, to get a better picture of, like, you know, try to visualize what's going on.
Yes, yes, yes. There are three buildings that are interconnected by sky bridges, which is the Sheraton Hotel, Marriott Hotel, and Westin Hotel. All of those are available through Marathon Tours for discounted rates when people book them. That's right next to the convention center. It's actually connected to it as well. And the convention center is located on Boylston Street, which is also where the finish line is. So that is probably 0.2 or so miles in distance, probably not more than that. Parallel to Boylston Street, if you look north, there is Newberry Street, which is the street that we're going to talk about where all the pop-up events are happening, where all the brands have their little locations and little stores.
So Google it or keep it in your mind and then you can have a better understanding of where Letty is.
Yes. So I walked over from my hotel to the place where the press conference was held. I wanted to capture the press conference on video because, as you guys may know, we are starting a YouTube channel. I wanted to have the press conference available for that, which I did. It was a lot of fun. It was cool to see all these amazingly fast athletes, connect with them, and see them speak. It was also great to see Jack Fleming, who is the CEO of the Boston Marathon, talk about, you know, the new partnership with Bank of America and all the progress that he and his staff have been making. So that was really, really cool.
So if you want to see that,
then go to our YouTube channel, which I guess I'll link in our show notes, right?
And it's also called the Marathon Running Podcast?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So after press conferences, did you go to the expo?
Yes and no. I went towards the convention center where the expo was taking place, but I only went to go pick up my bib. Reason being that my roommates, the Canadians, were arriving and they were arriving via car. So I had to be able to give them a key. So I only made time to go pick up the bib. At that time on Friday, it was not busy to pick up the bib. The expo probably wouldn't have been busy either. So that was all that.
And so Letty, after your first visit to the expo on Friday, what else happened?
So then I met up with my friend Min, who was having lunch with his friends, and I joined them at Wagamama, which is also at the, you know, Heinz Convention Center. And it was delicious food. From there, we went to Tracksmith and a couple of other stores on Newberry Street because that's where all the pop-ups are located.
Ah, there's pop-up vendors.
Yes, there's pop-up vendors. All the brands come in. It's almost like the expo has been more exclusively held to just selling Adidas stuff. And so all the other brands, instead of purchasing a booth in an area of the expo where they could, given how expensive those booths are.
Say booths like five times fast.
Booth, 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 booth. given how expensive the booths are, most brands now just go to Newberry Streets. There is a chain called Marathon Sports, and they have different locations that have different brands inside of the store, and a lot of the brands had pop-up stores there.
That's kind of interesting. It's like a maybe an inside story of rebellion against the costs of, or the hierarchy in the expo.
Yeah. So the, I agree 100%. And it kind of makes it fun because it's literally all of Newberry Streets. And there was a Nike van, which was kind of funny. They would see you walk by. If you were not wearing Nikes, they would offer to take your shoes and give you a pair of Nikes.
For free?
Yeah. I mean, they take your shoe.
Interesting. That's like a lot of sales tactic there.
Yeah, they tried to get my Hokas off my feet too.
Really?
Yeah, they did. But I was not willing to trade my shoes in. You also would see the Tracksmith van. There was an Asics van. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on besides just the pop-ups. And so after we attended, or after we visited some of the pop-up stores, we were signed up to play bingo.
What kind of bingo was it?
It was bingo hosted by Asics, and that was a lot of fun. So you walked into that place, you had to show your reservations. I almost wasn't allowed to go in because I couldn't find my email, but then they reluctantly let me in after I reset my password. It was really weird. But once in, it was kind of cool. They had a ton of food. They had mocktails. They had all kinds of things. And like I said, they had bingo. So it was a really cool event.
Would the bingo winners win shoes?
They won gift certificates by Asics.
Well, that's probably even better.
Yeah.
Buy whatever you want.
Exactly.
So after bingo?
After two rounds of bingo.
Did you guys all do the old person thing and go right to sleep?
No, actually,
I get the early bird special at the restaurant?
You know what, Ryan? I forced myself the entire weekend to do stuff late at night because I felt like when I'm at home, I go to bed at 8:30 or at least we lay down so early. So I made myself stay up to like one time even after midnight.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, the first day you stayed up until 2 a.m. and then you stayed up till 11:30.
I don't think it was that late. But I mean, maybe it was like 10.
Okay.
So after bingo, we decided to go back to Newberry Street. And there I met with, our guy from UCAN. As you guys know, we have a sponsorship right now with UCAN. So I met there with him. I saw some of the Hoka people and all sorts of other brands. There were shakeouts being hosted at the time. There was a party going on downstairs with a live DJ. It was all fun and really good vibes. So we hung out there for a while, looked at some of the, things they were selling, etc. And after that, we decided to look at the finish line. The finish line in Boston always is being painted on like Wednesday or Thursday before the marathon. So it's like fresh yellow and blue paint on the street. We're walking towards that and saw the infamous street crossing signs. You know, when you're running the marathon, they always say turn right on Hereford and left on Boylston. When you hear that, they even have shirts that say that, you're towards the finish line and you're finishing the marathon. So we took pictures over there and went to the finish line to check it out.
Nice. How was it?
It was great. They were playing music there. So it was kind of cool. You know, people were hanging out. I ran into a ton of people that I knew from all sorts of paths of life. So that was kind of cool. It's like, you don't see people for a really long time and then you see them all in Boston.
That's fun. Anything else you do that day?
No, I think at that point it was getting late. We stopped by Trader Joe's. I got some yogurt and stuff to put in the fridge and headed back to the office. I mean, to the hotel.
Office.
Yeah. The office for the weekend. So that wraps up Friday.
Okay. So let's go through day three.
Okay, so day three, we wake up and we decide to go watch the 5K. The Boston Marathon has a 5K happening for anyone that wants to participate. You don't need to have a qualifying time. So we went to go look at it. My friend Colin was going to run it with his wife, but I didn't realize it was a 5K with 10,000 plus people. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to spot him. We went regardless and we saw the super fast elite runners, men pack and women pack. And then stood there. I met my friend Sarah, who I used to do podcasts with in my very first year of podcasting. I'd never met her in person, so that was kind of cool. And yeah, then we did actually see Colin and Darla, his wife, running together. And that was really cool because that was very unexpected.
So what else did you do after the race?
After the race, we, you know, went to go do our own shakeout run. We went back to Newberry Street to the pop-up stores where Rabbit was hosting a 2-mile shakeout run. And we participated in that. And after the shakeout run, we went back to the Rabbit store where they were doing a couple giveaways. You know, they're giving away garments and all sorts of things, and had a bagel for the participants of the shakeout run. So we took advantage of that. And from there, we actually headed to the expo.
Again, for the second time.
Well, this time to actually see the expo and not just pick up my pip, but yes.
For the second time.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So this time it was Saturday and there was a ton of people and they literally were cattling us through, or funneling us through, at one point, a whole hall, just going back and forth in a line, just to avoid having too many people get into the expo all at once.
Was it a fast-moving line or was it just slow?
It was a very fast-moving line. Okay. So it helped. I think they did reach their goal with that. The Boston Expo is not my favorite. I think it's too exclusive to Adidas. My favorite is actually Chicago, where you can find a whole bunch of other brands and vendors and everything. But this one, what they do have every year is they have these people selling hair curlers. And every year they, you know, if you're a female with long hair, they stop you and ask you if you wanted to get your hair curled. And, you know, I have like two left hands when it comes to doing anything hair. My hair is never curled.
And you have straight hair.
And I have really straight hair. Yeah. So it's easy for if you don't want to do anything with it, but at the same time, you're kind of inhibited in learning more about doing hair because you never have. But I got my hair done at the expo just like last year and it looked beautiful and voluminous.
Did you buy a curler?
No, I did not. I mean, I can't use it like they do. They make it look so easy, right? But
okay, so what else did you see at the expo?
Not that much.
So your memories of the expo were hair curler. So for all the guy listeners, I'm sorry, but Lenny only looked at hair curlers this year. And so if you want to know more about what else is at the expo, you just have to go.
Oh, there was a tourism board of Kenya there. You know how I'm very interested in participating in one of those training camps, and I talked to those people there for a little while. And I mean, there was a bunch of other stuff. There was surprisingly, just like in Rome, there was dog food. Just like at the Rome Marathon, there were, I mean, let me think, massage guns, infrared lights, that sort of thing. T-Mobile was there. I don't know. It wasn't that exciting. There was Gatorade. There was a car that you could win, but I didn't even try to enter. You know, I don't like to give out my email. But yeah, so the expo was not very great. And I ended up going back to the hotel to rest for a minute, because after that, we had a little meetup with the Speed Strider Facebook group people that were in Boston at a panel that was going to host Chiara D'Amato, who was the American record holder for the marathon distance. And she was going to be on a panel hosted by Destination Marathons, which, you know, we've had on as a guest before. So that was where I was headed. Wes came and picked me up and we walked a little bit and also took the train and ended up going to that event.
So what was next? How was the panel?
The panel was great. It was a mixture of like funny and also a little bit inspirational, which is a great mix for something that you want to do before the marathon.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun. After that, we were going to a Kenyan dinner party, which was downtown again. So we hopped back on the train and ended up going there. That was amazing, right? It was like such a cultural immersion into Kenyan culture, but also Tanzanian and Ethiopian. They hosted all the elite runners as well, who we spoke with and hung out with. And, you know, it was very traditional. They had some music playing. They had all the dinner dishes that you are not familiar with, because we don't really eat that type of food. But I know you've had Ugandan food before, and it was the same kind of spongy bread, but then they also had like the you know, German style pancake, which, you know, they were not German style pancakes, but, you know, the kind of tortilla looking stuff that you can pick your food and meat up with. So it was really yummy. I wasn't afraid to eat it, even though I knew I was going to have a marathon in a couple days.
So you eat a lot of meat?
No, I didn't eat any meat. They did have a lot of vegetables, so that was really cool.
And so by now it's 12 o'clock at night because you've been staying up late every night?
No, I mean, it did get a little bit late. We walked back to the hotel. And I guess, yeah, I guess at that point I was tired, took a shower, and went to sleep. It was probably 11 o'clock, so it's not so bad.
So at this point in our podcast, we're at intermission. So get up, stretch your legs, go take a little break.
Come on.
Use the restroom. And when you come back, we'll have the second half of our show.
Well, I guess you're giving me a good in for playing our commercial break right now. Hey runners, have you ever heard of Runner Athletics? That's R-U-N-U-R. Runner Athletics is the ultimate go-to brand for all your athletic apparel needs. Picture this. Soft joggers, perfect companions for your running journey. The Runcation joggers are made from crazy soft Runcation fabric. They're oversized, baggy, and crafted with the perfect weight fabric to keep you comfortable at any climate. Now, if you prefer a snug fit, check out their Run Active joggers. They're designed for both performance and styles with no cotton and nothing to worry about. Last but not least, pair your outfit with the matching Runcation jacket for warmth and style. So, don't compromise on style and comfort. Check them out at runner.run, that's R-U-N-U-R.run, and use code RUNUR_MRP20 for 20% off. At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, UCAN. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give UCAN a try. UCAN uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. UCAN powders, gels, and bars are powered by LifeSteady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night. It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, LifeSteady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried UCAN now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad, and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the U.S., including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Chiara D'Amato, all use UCAN for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? Especially because Marathon Running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to ucan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using UCAN and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to ucan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show.
So day 4.
So day 4, now we're on Sunday, right?
Yes.
So Sunday, there was a shakeout run hosted by Puma. This was my favorite shakeout run just because I feel like Puma always brings the party, right? I've been to the Puma shakeout run the previous year and it was something outside. This time they had rented out a restaurant slash bar. It was at the Hue, and you went downstairs and it was, you know, typical to Puma fashion. They were handing out shoes that you could demo. So you could run that shakeout run with the shoes, and they were going to have a panel with Molly Seidel and Dakota Lindworm and Bill Rogers, which, you know, Bill Rogers, he's friends with Ron and I help him edit his podcast. So, it was cool to see Billy and, go on that shakeout run. That shakeout run was also not too long. I don't remember how long it was, maybe 3 miles. But when we got back, Puma had a lot of different things available for breakfast. So then there was like eggs and pastries and bagels and all sorts of stuff. We found a seat and watched the panel with, you know, the three legends right there. It was really cool.
Yeah, it sounds kind of fun. So you went on a run, shakeout run, and then you got breakfast and you get to listen to, like, what did they talk about?
So they talk. So to give you background, if you, For those that don't know, Dakota Lindworm ran the Olympic trials in Orlando and was top three. So that means she's going to the Olympics this summer. She is a very humble person from Minnesota. That was cool. And Molly Seidel is another person that in the previous year of the Olympics, so 2020, also was kind of the underdog and ran really hard and qualified for the Olympics and then actually won a medal. And both of them were talking about the brand of Puma, how they didn't have any contracts. And then Puma was taking a chance on them and said, we're going to really help you come through. So it was really, really kind of cool. Bill Rogers was there because in his career, he was sponsored by Puma for 3 years. So he was there, you know, just talking about some fun stuff. He's got a really great sense of humor. So he was he's just very inspirational. All three of them were. It was a great conversation to listen to. They didn't really need a moderator.
So after the inspirational talk, what happened?
I went to Hoka back on Newberry Street. So, you know, back to Marathon Sports, where they had a coffee shop on wheels outside, grabbed some coffee, and then I met with someone from Hoka because they were giving me the new Hoka Skyward X, which are going to be released this month to try out. So I just wanted to pick up my pair of shoes. And after that, I headed to the Westin Hotel because the Westin has a partnership with Marathon Zone, I guess, which is an area that is being rented out where they have, you know, the Normatec boots, compression boots, where you can sit down, use massage guns and all sorts of stuff. And I figured that would probably be a good idea to do that the day before the marathon. You know, just salvage the legs as much as possible.
I don't know if that's a great idea, but, you know, cause sometimes the deep tissue massage or other things can cause some injury and make you sore. But anyway, I guess as long as you're careful or do it appropriately, it's probably fine. So you got your massage.
Yes.
Sounds like a pamper weekend.
But a little bit.
What else next?
Next, I went to Italy, which is a store that sells, well, it's kind of a restaurant slash store. They sold slabs of pizza. So I got myself a slab of pizza and a little bit of noodles. I figured I should probably eat some carbs and just relax. I went back to the hotel room and had my roommates with me. And we watched a show on Netflix about three girls that were sisters and track runners. We kind of wanted to watch something inspirational running stuff. So we did that. And then, let me think. I think that's pretty much it for the evening. I don't think we left anymore. I guess we left to get some trash bags because, you know, runners need trash bags.
Okay, I have a question. What's a slab of pizza? I've never heard that before. Like, is it square?
Yeah.
How big is it?
Like that?
That's not very... Yeah, the listeners can't see what you're doing.
Oh, it's like 5x5? I don't know.
It's small.
6x6?
I don't know. Slab seems like it'd be big.
That's what she said.
Anyway. So we're now in intermission 2. So if you want to take another 15-minute break, we're almost halfway through the podcast at this point. And so you really only have about 45 more minutes worth of listening left.
It's not going to be that bad.
Before the podcast is over. So Letty's back at her hotel. This is a recap. Back at her hotel watching inspirational Netflix movies about running. And she falls asleep. And so now we're on day 5.
Yes, day 5 is race day. So this is, you know, the Boston Marathon takes place on Monday. It's Patriots Day. It's a holiday. And here we are. I wake up at 6 o'clock and we are to meet our friends in the lobby at 6:30. It's not a lot of time. I eat what I can find, which was, I think it were like sweet crackers.
You sound like you're on the streets, like looking for scraps.
No, I mean, I had like,
I eat what I can find.
Like a granola bar and a banana. I found a banana in the room. So I had that and, some water. And I tried to go to the bathroom. It didn't work. And then I put my kit on, which consisted of some Tracksmith shorts because they have pockets, and my favorite sports bra and a black shirt. I also always bring like diabetic socks, and I cut holes in the and the toes, and I use those as disposable arm warmers.
Compression socks?
Yeah, but okay. Guess what?
What?
It wasn't hot enough for that. It wasn't cold enough for that. I also brought long pants and a fleece jacket. I put all that stuff on anyway because we were leaving the hotel at 6:30 and we weren't supposed to start running till 10:30. So anything can happen in that time and you want to stay warm. But it wasn't one of those cold days. We had looked at the temperatures and we knew it was going to be in the upper 60s for running, which is not ideal. But at the same time, I wasn't bothered by it because I didn't really have a goal. I just wanted to finish and have fun. So then, after that, I went downstairs to the lobby, picked up some more bananas and some coffee, and we walked to the Commons. In Boston, at the Commons is where the school buses line up to take you there. The way it works is that everybody is assigned in a wave. I was in the white wave, which was the second wave, the wave after the red wave. So we were able to hop onto the school bus right away. It didn't feel so crowded like it did last year. And then we were supposed to take that hour drive to Hopkinton, which is where the marathon starts. But guess what?
So what?
So our bus was still driving after an hour and 20 minutes.
And so you got lost.
The bus got lost. And it wasn't just our bus, obviously. It's like the blind leading the blind. The first one gets lost. And then there's a string of buses just following it. So after we were still on the bus after an hour and 20 minutes, some people pulled out their phones to kind of see on the map where we were. It wasn't moving anywhere. They were kind of like in a cul-de-sac and trying to turn around and stuff like that around, in some streets. And so the bus driver just said, "This is it. You guys got to get out. You got to walk to the starting line."
And that's unusual, huh?
Not really. I hear every year that some buses get lost. I've just never been a participant in that.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I have no idea. But so we got out of the bus and we walked about a mile to the starting line. Meanwhile, we're sharing the street with all the buses, you know, the buses that actually made it there. And runners were sitting in them and just like looking at us. But I don't know. It was just a mile. We're in good spirits. So we get to Athletes Village, which is where the big white tents are, where all the runners are waiting. And we didn't have time to sit down. I got into the porta potty line, which took about a good 30 minutes. And by that time, they'd already called our wave. So we got rid of any extra clothing that we had on and headed, you know, another 0.75 miles to the starting line. At that point, it was really sunny. So they were handing out sunscreen and we knew we were going to be in for a hot day.
So go through the start.
All right. So I get into my corral. Everyone is already sweating. And boom, it starts. Compared to last year, this year was not so crowded. I don't know if it was because I was in a higher corral than last year, but it didn't feel crowded at all. Last year, I felt like I couldn't, you know, the beginning of the course is downhill and I'm pretty fast downhill. If I don't put the brakes on, and I had to put the brakes on a lot last year, this year I didn't. So it was kind of nice. The cheering was pretty amazing. I feel like because the weather was warm enough for people to come watch and come outside, there was a ton of people out there. So that was pretty amazing.
That's good. Any memorable experiences in the first half?
I mean, I high-fived probably over 200 children, Ryan.
Were you discriminating against adults?
Kind of, yeah. High five adults. It's kind of creepy.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I'd started with my friend Colin, who I always lose within the first 10 miles of the race. It's just, you know, he's faster than me, so he kind of bounces ahead, and then I don't see him. But the last three races, I kept finding him towards the end of the race. Unfortunately, Colin was injured. I told you he had a knee injury and he had gotten a joint injection and that didn't go so well for him. So he had a lot of knee pain, but that's in the second half. I would see him in the second half.
So you lost him in the first half, but we'll get back to him in the second half.
Yeah. So around the half mile marker, I noticed that a ton of people were pouring water on themselves. I've never done that during a race, but I started doing it and it feels pretty amazing. Like having cold water on your head, that's really cool.
Yeah, I like the sponges in Rome because you could rinse off the salt on you. So even just being able to rinse off some of the salt would have been nice too.
Yeah, here too. So, you know, it was not very cloudy. Every once in a while there would be a cloud, but you know, that would go away. It's kind of come and go. But it was a very I don't know. It was a very fun race. I think a lot of people knew. I ran into a lot of people that I knew, and they all said, oh, they're just running it for fun now, because they knew they weren't going to be able to get a personal record. So I feel like the mood shifted and eased up a lot, and people were kind of more happy running this race.
How were your split times from the beginning to the end? Did you feel strong the whole race? Did you slow down? Did you?
Yeah, I did slow down. I knew I was going to slow down. The first half, I was probably on track for like a 3:20 marathon. And then I knew the other half was going to just, you know, I don't have that same fitness that I had before Tokyo. I haven't really done much running in the last 4 weeks. I had bronchitis the week before. So, you know, I had very low expectations, and I was just in for a good time. And so I feel like I was able to have that. I had conversations with people during the race. I ran into a couple of people that listened to our podcast and talked to them. And I ran into another person that was a guest on the podcast. He's a Blade Runner. So that was cool. I stopped and took pictures. I ran back into Colin, like I said, and I made him go into the medical tent to spray his knees with whatever they had, and, you know, in hopes that that would probably maybe help him, which didn't, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, all in all, it was a very fun time.
So you slowed down. Were you feeling like it was related to fitness, tiredness, or the heat, or anything in particular?
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely fitness related. I felt like the entire marathon was rolling hills. And normally when I'm trained, I don't feel it that much. But it was definitely, I mean, my VO2 max number and everything had already gone down in the Garmin. I'm kind of overrunning right now. So so it was definitely fitness related. And I slowed down so I could enjoy this race. We ran by Wellesley College, which I told you is like that area. It's a girls college, and they all come out and they have signs that say, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me. And they point at their lips and they try to like pull you in and stuff like that. So that was really kind of funny. There was the Heartbreak Hills, which felt extra hard, you know, just because it's hot and I'm out of shape going up and down these hills. It was exhausting, but at the same time, it's just such a blast.
Anything else in the course?
Yeah. So while I was running, I pulled over to the side to get a drink. Somebody was handing out something that looked pink. I thought it was some grapefruit juice, so I was excited about it. And it ended up being a little Dixie cup of beer. And I think this is like mile 16. It tasted so delicious, Ryan, that I had two of them. And then I kept running and kind of kept looking for that same setup with whatever type of beer that was. But instead, I ran into a couple that was handing out pickle juice and a chaser of Coke for afterwards. So I drank the pickle juice and the Coke afterwards, and it was like the most delicious thing.
That's why the race was happy. You were half drunk.
Probably a little bit. Yeah, so that was good. Another landmark on the course is the Citgo sign, you know, gas station Citgo sign. When you start to see it, you know, you're at mile 24, and then there is a mile 24 marker. You know, you only have 2 miles to go. And guess what?
What?
This was the first time in a marathon where I was actually really bummed to see the mile 24 marker, because I wanted it to last longer, which, that itself, I think that says something.
So you need to do ultras next?
No, absolutely not. I just really liked running this marathon for the enjoyment of it.
So how's been running the marathon now 3 times? Is it, do you recognize most of the course?
I do a lot more than before, but I'm also not the most observant person. So, you know, it's always something new too. Eventually I did the, you know, ride on Hereford, left on Boylston that I was talking about earlier. And it was just amazing. I got goosebumps running down that. I took my phone out because I knew my little head camera had died at that point, and took a video crossing the finish line and, you know, all the volunteers and everything. It was just super amazing. I'm very glad I got to do this.
If you could rate your Boston Marathon experiences 1 through 3, how would you rate them?
I don't know. Probably all of them are 10s.
Well, I meant like, you know, favorite, second favorite, third favorite.
I think this one was my favorite because last year was really cold, and, you know, I don't do well, when I stop running and get really cold, I'm really miserable, and it kind of dampens the whole experience. I think last year I was crying with you on the phone because I hated being cold so much. So this one definitely is up there.
Fun.
Yeah. So then post-marathon, showered up. The Shake Shack was giving out free burgers, so I stood in line for that, just to learn that veggie burgers were not included. So I just bought the veggie burger, and I treated myself to a lemonade mixed with soda water, which totally hit the spot. So then after Shake Shack, we had some food, went to the after party at Mile 27. They called it Mile 27 after party. I wasn't too impressed with it. And then I headed back to the room. But then some other friends were having drinks somewhere, so I decided, you know what? I'm in Boston, why not? I'm going to go out late. And I went out and had a beer, which, you know, that last beer gave me a headache, which, you know, I don't know. You're so dehydrated, right? You're drinking as much on the course as possible, but then at the same time, you're still dehydrated. So I feel like I should have had more water. But that was it for day, what, 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
So for those of you who are still with us, after this long explanation of the Boston Marathon week by Letty, thanks for tuning in.
Wait, day 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's another day.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
Yeah, so day 6.
Don't quit on us yet. You're almost there.
Day 6 is the travel day.
Listening to the Boston recap is in itself a marathon.
So day 6 is the last day. It's a travel day. I went to the post-race press conference, which was also amazing because all the winners were there, congratulated them. This video is also available on YouTube. And then I linked up with Min and his friends that were also flying out in the evening. We went to the Boston airport and Min hooked me up with an entry to the Sapphire Lounge, which was just amazing because it's just unlimited food and lounging. So we just hung out there for a couple hours before I got to hop on my airplane. I had a stopover in Philadelphia, literally got off the plane, ran over as the other plane was almost done boarding, and got home in time at 11 o'clock.
Day 7.
No, that's it.
Okay. So, congratulations for finishing and listening through the whole Boston recap.
Oh, I thought you were congratulating me on finishing the marathon.
No, the listeners. The listeners. And if you'd like a medal, you can write us. I'm just kidding. So,
but yeah, no, seriously, if you are still listening, I guess Ryan is making me feel like this is really long. So thank you for, listening. I actually had a couple of people message me via Strava and Instagram, and they said they couldn't wait to hear our recap. So
I hope people do enjoy it. I'm just kidding with you, but sometimes I do like to try to get you to go faster and to summarize a little bit more. But I don't know. Maybe people like the longer one.
Everybody likes it long. You know what I mean?
That's what she said.
But yeah, so anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you listening. Stay tuned for next week's episode where the topic will be the wall, meaning you hit the wall during a marathon and stuff like that. So it's very pertinent to racers, racing experience, and maybe we'll figure out some things that we can do to avoid the wall.
And with that,
have a great week of running.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag, there's something for every runner.